Good morning, church, and welcome to our services this morning. Happy Sunday. Happy Easter. I almost wore the suit today, but then I decided, well, I'll just wear my favorite Easter egg-colored shirt. So it kind of put me in the mood. I hope you're in the mood, because it is a good day. It's a good day to virtually be together. And I'll tell you, the thing that's really getting to me through all this is not really being together. I miss you guys. I miss you so much, and we look forward so much to the day when we can come together, when we can fill this place and be back with each other. But until then, we're going to worship God together, because He is the most important thing. Without each other, it's tough, but we'll make it. We'll make it because we have Him. So what we're going to do today is we're going to have some announcements and some prayer requests. We're going to spend some time in prayer. We're going to get into the Word and have our message. We'll have a communion service, and then we'll close out with another prayer. Also, be on the lookout, because next to this file, there is a singing service file. Jerry has been gracious enough to put that together for us and lead us in some singing. So after the service, open up that singing service file and join us, and we'll all be doing that together. All right, other announcements. Tomorrow, today, already, Tony's got communion supplies. Tony's got some communion supplies, so if you need some, let him know. Let him know. I know that's a little late for this morning, but if you need those, he'll be there. And if you need to call him and let him know, he'll have those for you. A couple things we need to continue to keep in our prayers. Remember Matt and losing his dad several weeks ago? So just continue to keep their family in your prayers. Keep Charlie in your prayers, because she is expecting. And so we just thank God for that blessing. And a couple new ones. We need to remember Oren's Uncle Jimmy. We found out that it's Saturday night. For me, anyway. I know it's Sunday morning for us together, but it's Saturday night for me. Today, he's going to have his foot amputated, so we need to remember him in our prayers. He's had some health problems, and so they're hoping that this will help him and clear him up. So that is Oren's Uncle Jimmy. Remember him. And then also tomorrow, on Monday, Robert is going to have some more tests. His cancer is probably back. So we need to keep him in our prayers and lift him up and just pray for God to provide healing for him. And then continue to remember the Diogo family. They are trucking along in Brazil. And they're doing well, and they're getting along as well as can be expected. And so they are continuing to teach and to preach and to share. So let's lift them up, and let's also remember the World Bible School students that are coming back because of all this. I was talking to Ben a little bit ago, and before we got started, and he said, you know, it's been really neat to to hear about those that are coming back to Jesus because of all this. And that is something that we will praise God for, because when things are going smooth, when we think that our life is okay, when we think that we are in control of things, and that's not usually when people return to Christ. That's not usually when people need something bigger than themselves. And so one of the blessings of this time is the fact that people realize their need for God. They realize that they can't do this alone, that it feels very alone without His presence in our lives. And so we praise God that we do have the presence of Jesus Christ, that we are filled with His Holy Spirit to get through each and every day. And we are celebrating with the angels in heaven of those that are turning back to Jesus, those that are coming back to Him, recommitting to Him, waking up to what they have been missing. And so we want to just pray for our brothers and sisters all over the place that are once again renewing their faith. All right, let's go to our Father in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for this day. We are grateful to come together. We are grateful to worship You, to lift You up, and to praise You. Father, we are constrained by certain things at this time. But our hearts are not constrained. Our faith is not locked up. Our hope in You is strong. Father, we praise Your name. And this morning, as Your children all around the world are gathered together to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we thank You for not leaving him in the tomb. We thank you for restoring his life. We thank you for not allowing him to see corruption. Father, this is our hope. This is what we all look forward to, the day when everyone will be resurrected, the day when those that have gone to sleep before us will wake up at the sound of Jesus' voice, the day when those of us that are here will hear his voice, will hear the trumpet sound, and not be able to mistake his return. Father, we look forward to that day so much, and we just ask that you send Jesus soon. Father, until that day, give us the faith that we need. Let us trust in you in every situation. We're in a challenge right now, Lord, and we give that to you. We give it to you because we're frustrated. We're fed up and we're tired of things and just being kind of locked down for the last few weeks. It has definitely altered our normal lives. But Father, at the same time, we realize and we understand and we confess that this has been a time that has forced us to our knees. This has been a time that has forced us to recognize you working, and really just been a time to allow us to rest in your care, to trust and know that you are in control, to trust and to know that you are making all things work for good. Father, we love you, and we thank you for loving us. We thank you for sending your Son, for loving us so much that you couldn't leave us to our sins, for loving us so much that you just couldn't abandon us to the mess that we had made of our own lives, for loving us so much that you sent Jesus not to condemn, but to save. Blessed be your name, Father. Father, today we lift up those that need you. We start with the church, and we just pray that you be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, that you be with everybody at Sunrise. We just pray that you be with the body here and just strengthen each and every one. We pray, Father, that you be with Robert, and we ask, Father, for healing. We pray, Father, that you will cure him of this cancer, that you will keep him strong, keep him joyful, and keep him encouraging. Father, be his encouragement right now so that he may continue to serve in your kingdom. Heavenly Father, we lift up Oren's uncle, Jimmy, that is having his surgery tomorrow. We just pray that you watch over him. We ask that this is done well, and we just ask that this will be a blessing to his health, that losing a part of him will allow the whole of him to continue to live. Heavenly Father, we lift up Matt and his family. We ask your blessings to be upon them in comfort and peace. And we lift up Charlie and just pray that she stays healthy, that her and Chester's child will be strong, and as it is growing, that it will go well with them in this. Father, we are grateful for those in the World Bible School that are turning back to you. We are grateful for those all over that are turning back to you. And it is so encouraging to see so many that are renewing their faith. We pray, Lord, that you be with them, that as they open their eyes to your promises that have always been true and have never faltered, that they will have the faith to stay committed to you and stay close to you. Father, as all of us walk with Jesus, we just pray, Lord, that the burdens that we have on our shoulders, that we will lift those up to you, that we will allow you to carry these things, that each of us will understand that we are not alone, that you will not forsake us. Father, we thank you for your promises. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for all things that you provide. Father, thank you for this opportunity this morning. As we study your word, may we be filled, refreshed, and strengthened to continue our journey. Father, our journey ends, begins, and continues each day with you. We love you, and we thank you for hearing our prayer. We offer it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, go ahead and open your Bible to Psalm 126. Psalm 126. Now, as it has been the week leading up to Easter, I hope that you have spent some time with your Father in heaven. I hope that you have spent some time with your family. And I hope that you have really just spent some time walking these steps that we see in the life of Jesus and his last week here on earth. It's been a very powerful and humbling week for myself as I've walked through some of these things. It's been a very awesome and inspiring week to hear messages from others and to see so many people on social media posting encouraging things and sharing what God is doing for them. So I just pray that you're with us, not just today, but each and every day as we continue our walk. All right, now, if you're just joining us, just to catch up, we've been going through the songs of ascent. These began in Psalm 120, and these were the songs that Israel sang when they marched together as they made the journey to Jerusalem on the high holidays to worship God together, to offer up sacrifices. And so just a quick recap, Psalm 120, it began with them lamenting their surroundings, just saying how bad it is, God, down here. And Psalm 121, they lifted up their eyes to the hills. That is, as they were coming into town, they could see all of the options that the world had to offer and realize that none of those were going to satisfy. Psalm 122, once they got there, they delighted in the house of God. They were so excited to be there, and they couldn't wait to be in the presence of God and to worship Him. And then 123, they looked above the hills. They looked above the hills all the way to heaven. They didn't stop with things in this world or in creation, but they looked past that and they saw where God was and realized that because of His place there, that He is sovereign, that He is God, that He is in control. Psalm 124, they cried out that God is our help, that God will be there for us and take care of us. Psalm 125, last week we saw that God surrounds His people and protects His people. And so that was such an encouraging message to be reminded that God is with us, that He is taking care of us, that He is protecting us. And then today we come to Psalm 126. Psalm 126, and appropriately so, it fell on today because Psalm 126 is all about shouts of joy. All right, let's read this together. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, we were like those who dream, that our mouth was filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. And they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. He who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing his sheaves with him. What a great song for this Easter Sunday. Three times in these six verses, Israel shouts for joy. Just when things looked their worst, God restored their fortunes. Just when they thought it couldn't get any worse, God was there for them. And they've reaped in pain and suffering, but the harvest that they got was joy. And this was so powerful that they said that it was other people that looked at their lives and said, hey, look what God is doing for them. And then they're kind of shaken back to reality, saying, yeah, look what God has done for us. That we are living in difficult times, and the work that we're doing and the ways that we are toiling, it feels like sorrows, and sometimes it just feels heavy. But God has taken all those things. He's restored their fortunes. And so now the harvest is shouts of joy. And I love this shouts of joy. I love that the author put this in, that this was not just, I think of that song that we knew as kids that we sang together, that you've sang with your kids, that I've got the joy down in my heart. And I think sometimes as we grow up, we get to thinking that, well, that's where joy belongs. That joy is something that's so deep within my heart that it's for me, and it's a quiet thing and it's a stoic thing. But this is not the quiet joy in your heart. This is shouts of joy. This is recognition for what God has done. This is being overwhelmed by the good fortune that God has provided, by all of the difficulties that God has seen us through to bring us to this awesome day in which we can look around ourselves, look above ourselves, and ring out shouts of joy. It's joy that can't be controlled. That's some of my favorite kind of joy. Isn't it yours? When you're around people that you know and that you love, and someone tells a story that catches you off guard, and you just laugh. You just laugh. You just have shouts of joy. Those are my favorite stories. I'll be honest, one of the hardest things about this time is just not being able to laugh at the stories and the joyful things that other people share, the times that we sit around the table, the times that we worship together and share our lives. That's been difficult for me. I miss shouts of joy with other people. This is this joy that is being described in Psalm 126. This is you can relate to this. Your team's down in the ninth inning, and there's two outs, and the batter comes up to bat, and there's a couple of base runners, and you're just going, "Come on, just this one time, get that hit." Get that hit. And the pitch comes in and the bat just cracks the ball and it's going long and it's going far and you realize this is going over the fence. And none of us in that situation, or even if it's just sitting on your couch watching your favorite football team or a buzzer beater in March Madness, whatever your sports analogy is, you and I know shouts of joy. Because when it happens, we can't stay sitting there in our seat. We jump up. We're exuberant. We yell, yay, we're high-fiving, we're looking around, we're chest-bumping, we're hugging, we're so excited, we want to see the replay. Get out, don't get in front of the television, we want to see every second of it. Those are shouts of joy. That's what the psalmist gives us in 126 here this morning, church. That is how we respond to how God is working, with shouts of joy. It is not sitting in our pew. It is not subdued. It is not a polite golf clap. It is jumping up and down. It is the smile on our face that is so broad that it just hurts. It's just laughter that just leaves your side painful from just coming from such a deep place within us. And this is what we do. Three times, Psalm 126, our tongue with shouts of joy. We reap with shouts of joy. And we come home with shouts of joy. And church, this is all possible. We live our lives and we respond like this because God comes through. God comes through. I know it, you know it, and we've got to hold on to it. We've got to hold on to it because God comes through. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, this is just such an awesome connection with the resurrection of Jesus. Because when you think about it, let's go to the end of Luke chapter 23. When Jesus was laid in the tomb, that was the longest Sabbath ever. They buried him, and they all go to their houses, and God's people were forced to rest. It was in the law. They were forced to rest. And the reason why God gave them the Sabbath was, well, it's kind of like you give your kids nap time. They don't want nap time. They don't want to slow down. They want to go till they fall. But sometimes you know that if they don't get that good rest, that they're not going to function very well the rest of the afternoon, or they're going to be grumpy by dinner time, that they're not going to have a good second half of the day. They need that rest. And God knows that we too need a rest. Now, we know we're not under the law to force us into that Sabbath, and we know that we are all looking forward to our new covenant Sabbath rest. When Jesus comes back and he brings us home to let us rest from all our toil and work. But it's interesting that we are all in kind of a forced Sabbath. We are all you know, we're still working, but a lot of the things that we stay busy doing have been taken away from us. And so we have this forced rest. And so just like the followers of God, just like the disciples of Jesus were forced to rest, they had to sit there that whole day and they had to wait for God to act. They had to wait for God to act, and that's what the Sabbath is all about. That's what forced rest is all about. It just reminds us that we're not in control, that God is the one that has to act. And as they were doing this, and look how simple it is in Luke chapter 23. Let's see, the second half of verse 56. On the Sabbath they rested according to the commandment. That's it. That's it. That's all the Bible tells us about it. One sentence. On the Sabbath they rested just like they were commanded to do. But could you imagine being in your house doing nothing more than was absolutely necessary that entire day? You can relate to it. You can relate to it. And they had to do this having just seen Jesus put to death, having seen his body laid in the tomb. And in fact, before the Sabbath, the women disciples who were gathering their spices and getting ready because they didn't even have time to properly take care of his body. And so they've gotten all this stuff ready and then they're just sitting there. And they're just sitting there. And I can imagine this Sabbath day while Jesus was in the tomb, they kind of felt like you and I have been feeling. Forced to sit there. Forced to sit there, just kind of climbing the walls, kind of going crazy. It's kind of hard to rest and trust that God is working when there is so much that we feel that we need to be doing. Well, let's see how this continues. Luke chapter 24, verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Church, I'm going to invite you to be a little better than these firsthand witnesses. They saw the empty tomb and they couldn't believe it. It can't be possible. I mean, he told us what was going to happen. He told us that the tomb wasn't going to hold him. And sure enough, the tomb didn't hold him. What happened to him? How can this be? How can the Son of God make a promise or do something so amazing? Jesus was delivered. Jesus was crucified. And Jesus is risen. The witnesses are in awe. And they marveled. And they're not really sure how he did it. But he did. And so, church, you and I together join in that celebration of the empty tomb. You and I join in celebrating and worshiping God for the reality that Jesus did not stay dead, that he died to pay the price for all of our sins, that he shed his blood to cover us, to sanctify us, to redeem us, to bring us home to our Father in heaven. God created us, and we all went astray, every single one of us. We've all messed up. We've all gone our own ways. We all have those things in our past that we're ashamed of, that we're embarrassed of, that we hope no one finds about. We all continue to do things that we shouldn't be doing. We all continue to mess up and make mistakes, and we have days where we don't follow Jesus faithfully. And Jesus died for all of those days. Jesus died for all of those acts. Jesus died for all of those sins, for my sin and for your sin and for the sins of the world. And God accepted his sacrifice on our behalf. And it was real. It was real. Jesus Christ suffered and died on the cross. It wasn't a sleight of hand. It wasn't a magic trick. It wasn't a bait and switch. Jesus died. Jesus died. And when they went after the Sabbath to take care of his body, because, well, you know, Jesus is dead, and all of us that had put our hopes in him, I mean, what good is a dead Messiah? What good is a man come from God to get all of our hopes up just to go and die on us? I mean, he didn't even put up a fight. He didn't let us put up a fight. He just let him win. Or so it seemed. And so they go to the tomb. They go to the tomb and they look in there, and lo and behold, it's empty. It's empty. And the two angels, the two messengers say, "Hey, this is a place for the dead. What are you doing here?" I mean, that's what they say to him. This is where they keep dead people. Why are you here? You're followers of Jesus. Why are you here? And they said, we're looking for Jesus? I mean, last we saw. Yeah, he's alive. He's alive and he's gone ahead to Galilee. So go tell the other disciples. Okay. Remember he told you this was going to happen? Oh, he did tell us this was going to happen. This is crazy. I mean, it's like faith in an unseen God is just amazing. Faith in an unseen God sometimes blows our minds. Faith in an unseen God sometimes provides things that just make us jump off the couch and shout for joy. And this is it. He is risen. He was crucified. He was buried. But he is risen. Church, this is our good news. Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. So all that he said, all that he did, his lordship, his kingship, his command over creation, it is real. None of the other world leaders have come back. None of the others that have imposed their will over helpless people throughout all the centuries. None of the other kings, none of the other lords, none of the other presidents, none of them have come back. But Jesus came back. Jesus came back. He is Lord of Lords and he is King of Kings. And this is why the Bible tells us that at his return, when we see him with our own eyes, when you and I have that face-to-face, he is risen moment, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. There won't be any other power. There won't be anything else that will be able to stand up to him or against him. Church, as we continue to celebrate the empty tomb, as we are in this forced Sabbath of sorts, I want you to remember and I want you to hold on to that, just like Psalm 126, God is going to restore our fortunes. And just like Luke chapter 24, we are going to be amazed, we are going to marvel, and we are all going to have reason to shout for joy. Now, we're still in place. We're still in place. So what do we do? What do we do? Well, we let God work. We let God work. We pay attention. What is he doing? What is he doing? Because apparently what he's doing right now is so much more important than what I'm doing, than what you're doing. So church, tune in. Plug in. Stay connected. We need to be praying in the Spirit. We need to be searching the Scriptures. We need to be paying attention to that still small voice of God. Look, he's slowed us down. He's put us in place and he has a rapt audience. We need to pay attention. I know it is very tempting to just say, "Oh, I can't wait till this is all over. I just can't wait to get back to life as normal. I just can't wait for everything just to go back." Church, do you think those disciples of Jesus could just go back after that Sabbath day? Do you think they could witness what they had witnessed and said, "Oh, well, okay"? Well, actually, some of them did. It's not this morning's lesson, but later in this chapter, read Luke chapter 24 this afternoon, the road to Emmaus. Jesus shows up for a couple of his followers. They said, "Hey, what are you doing?" And I said, "Well, you don't know. I mean, we were all following Jesus. We thought he was the one. We all had our hopes pinned upon him, and Something strange happened. A couple of people went to the tomb and they said he wasn't there. Wow, we don't even know what to make of it. And Jesus takes them in and he breaks bread with them and their eyes are open. And it said, whoa, while he was preaching, while he was opening up the scriptures, our hearts were burning. We just didn't get it. But now we get it. Church, we cannot come out of this Sabbath time the same as when we went in. Wherever your faith was before we got locked down, I pray that your faith is not the same when it all gets opened up. I pray that we just don't go back to life as usual, to family as usual, to church as usual, because nothing about what God does is usual. It's amazing. It's powerful. He's got our attention. I hope you're paying attention. He's got our attention. He has slowed us down. He has brought us to a halt. He has stopped us all and said, hey, I want you to see. I want you to hear. So what is it that you need to see today? What is it that you need to hear today? What is it that you need to pay attention to? Because God is speaking. God is acting. Let's turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Let's start in verse 7. Philippians 3, 7. Whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained this, or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Church, the Apostle Paul writes this to the church in Philippi, and it is kept in posterity for us. And we, just like Paul, are on this side of the open tomb. We serve the same risen Savior as the Apostle Paul did. We're in this together. And so the words that he says, the description that he uses, this is the description of our walk, of our life, of our faith. On this side of the empty tomb, we know that the joy of God is greater than anything else. To know Christ and to know the power of his resurrection is greater than anything that we can do on our own, is greater than any accomplishment that we can achieve, is greater than any material blessing that we can hoard or build or make for ourselves or collect for ourselves. Church, to know Jesus, to know the power of him rising from the grave, to know what that is so powerful that it can change my heart. It is so powerful that it can change your life. It is so powerful it can take someone lost and far away from God and bring them close. It can take someone's life that is going in this direction and stop them in their tracks and turn them around. That was the Apostle Paul's story. He was on the road to Damascus. He had arrest warrants in hand. He was going to arrest or to kill followers of Jesus. And Jesus showed up, the resurrected Jesus Christ showed up, stopped him in his path, took his sight from him, drove him to his knees, made him stop and recognize the truth of God in a resurrected Jesus Christ. Church, the gospel is true. The gospel is real. And I pray as you read it, as you study it, as you live it, as you pray it, I pray that it's real for you too. Because the good news of Jesus, the resurrection from the dead, has absolutely changed my life. It has absolutely, God stopped me and said, you can't go on like this anymore. There's something better to live for. And I'm probably like a lot of you that I had my own thing going on. Not necessarily an overly bad person, but you know, that's our judgment. That's not God's judgment. There's not an overly bad or a less bad. There's just God, and then there's not. And I was not. I was living for myself. I was doing a pretty good job of it. I mean, things hadn't fallen apart. They hadn't crashed around me. But God showed me a better way, just like He showed Paul, just like He probably showed you, that living for yourself is not the way to do it. Because living for yourself, you can only do so much for yourself. But living for God, knowing the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ, that brings full life. It brings life eternal. It brings forgiveness of sins. It brings hope. It brings the presence of Jesus in the form of the Holy Spirit living in each and every one of us. It brings the promise, everything that He promised, it brings them to bear. When Jesus went back to heaven after the resurrection, He said, "I will not forsake you or leave you alone. I will be with you till the end." And church, we live under that promise. We live under the promise that our Lord and Savior is with us. And that promise is so amazing and so powerful. It's more powerful than the reality of your family members being with you. It is more powerful than your church members being with you. Jesus Christ will never leave us or forsake us. Some of you this morning are probably feeling pretty alone. Jesus has not left you alone. Some of you are probably starting to get a little depressed. Jesus has not left you alone. Some of you are probably getting a little antsy, wondering when all this will be over. Jesus has not left you alone. Look, nothing else matters in this world or in our lives compared to knowing Christ, because the power of God makes us alive in Jesus Christ. Look, our sins were heavy. We were carrying them all by ourselves. They were just bending us over at the waist. The shame and the embarrassment and the separation from our Creator, it was too much to bear. But now we stand up tall because we are free. That's why we shout for joy. We shout for joy because we have been forgiven. Our burdens are heavy. The things that we have to do, or the things right now that we're not allowed to do, they all feel like burdens. And once again, even forgiven, our burdens seem to bend us over at the waist again. They seem to become heavy once again. Church, it is time to stand tall. It is time to give and confess those burdens to God. It is time to let Jesus do exactly what He promised to do, that He would not leave us alone, that His yoke is easy because He does all the heavy lifting. Give your burdens to God. It's time. It's time. If you've been feeling bent over, if spiritually, if you feel beat up, it is time to give all those burdens to God. It is time to let Jesus be your Lord and Savior. If you're not a Christian this morning, it is time to follow Him in faith. It is time to confess Him as Lord and Savior. It is time to be baptized, to be born again for the remission of your sins. It is time for you to not walk this earth alone, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the two promises that we have in baptism. Death, burial, and resurrection in the water. New life. Forgiveness of sins. And the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is His presence. Now that we have been washed by the blood of Jesus, we are now a tabernacle that is worthy, that is fit for Jesus to reside in, to walk with us, to be with us every step of the way. That's the promise that we have in our baptism. So if you're not a Christian, we beg of you to become a Christian. All right? If you need to respond, well, reach out. We'll make a way. If you are a Christian, it's time for you to stand up. It's time for you to stand up. It's time for you to be tall again. It's time for you to let Jesus forgive you of your sins. It's time for you to let Jesus carry your burdens. And it is time for us to jump off the couch and shout for joy. Because what God has done for us through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, is better than a bottom of the ninth, down by two, bases loaded, home run. It's better than a Hail Mary pass that's caught in the end zone as the clock runs out. You know, it's all those things that we normally stand up and shout for joy. What Jesus has done for us is better than all of those things. So I pray that this week, as you have walked with Jesus to the cross and to the tomb this last week, I pray that this week that you shout for joy. That you shout for joy in everything. It doesn't matter if you're constrained at the house. Shout for joy anyway. It's probably good practice. It doesn't matter if you're just with your family, that you shout for joy. If you are making a delivery, if you are out 6 feet away from somebody, shout for joy. If you're doing good and delivering something for somebody, shout for joy. Whatever it is that we are doing this week, let us shout for joy. All right. Well, that was the message. And I want us to go into our communion time. This is the Holy Spirit. This is not me, because I really didn't have any scripture prepared for the Lord's Supper this morning. But Luke chapter 24 is pretty powerful. And it's pretty amazing. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking to each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're having with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said, "What things?" And they said, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. How our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death. They crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel." Yeah, besides all this, it's now the third day since these things happened. "And moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They're at the tomb early in the morning. And when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." Church, you can read the Bible over and over and over, and until God opens your eyes to its truth, it's just a bunch of words. They were sad when Jesus met them on the road. They knew the scriptures. They knew the story. They even knew the witnesses of the empty tomb. And yet still, they were stuck. They were stuck. So look what Jesus does. Verse 28. "They drew near to the village. He acted as if he were going further. They urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us. It's toward the evening. The day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight." My favorite part of the story. Church, right now we're going to pray, and we're going to take the bread together as you take the bread with your family. And we do this not only celebrating the death of Jesus and not only celebrating the hope of his return, but in breaking the bread, our eyes are opened. The truth of God is right here. It's right here. So we continue this act. We continue this meal. We continue to receive the body of Jesus broken for our sins. Because as many times as we hear the story, it is this that makes it real. So let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we receive this bread. We receive the body of your only Son, Jesus Christ, sent to us to die for our sins. And just as his body was broken on the cross, this bread is broken for us. Father, open our eyes. Open our eyes to the reality of a resurrected Jesus Christ. Open our eyes to the reality of our sins being forgiven and our eternal hope that is assured for us in heaven with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, in the same way, we take the cup. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this fruit of the vine. We thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the love that pulled him out of your presence in heaven to live life down here with us. To show us your face, to share with us your heart, and to not only teach, but to live, and to make the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. We remember his sacrifice, we remember the blood that was shed, and we remember the promise that goes with it, the new covenant in your blood, that you remember our sins no more. Father, we shout for joy for having been forgiven. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I don't know about you, but I am ready. I'm ready to sing those songs of praise that Jerry's leading us in this morning. We can shout for joy. We can shout for joy because all that God has done for us, all that he continues to do for us, and all that he has planned for us. Thank you so much for joining us. Be strong this week, okay? Be strong for your spouse. Be strong for your kids. Be strong for your neighbors. Be strong for your Lord and Savior. So we will close in one more prayer, and then we'll have the song service. So we pray that you find that file and sing with your family. Let's shout for joy together. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful to be able to shout for joy with our brothers and sisters in Christ this morning, with all believers all around the world. We shout for joy. We want you to hear us. We want you to know that all that you have done has not been wasted upon us, that the gift of Jesus that you have given us is amazing and powerful. We are in awe. We are humbled. We are blown away. We confess, Father, we're kind of confused at times. But we will not stop trusting you. We will not stop believing you. We will not stop hoping in you. Blessed be your church this week, Father. Guide our steps. May we come out with joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed this week, church.